Hello and welcome back to AfriPod, Nazarene's ever first podcast. Today we will be joined by very interesting personalities. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Danaro himself, the one and only. And today we are talking about very, very interesting conversations, a very, very challenging yet controversial topic. I told you in our last episode, which by the way, if you have not heard, kindly go down to Google Podcast and search AfriPod, or if you have Castbox app, podcast app, you can search AfriPod, or furthermore, if you have Spotify, you'll also find our podcast there. Today, we are going to talk about a very interesting topic, but before I get into the topic, I'd love my audience to get acquainted with our two guest stars today. Very, very interesting personalities, very, very intriguing people, lawyers for that matter. Wanasamanga ukitaka heartbreak, look for lawyers themselves. Eh? Very, very interesting people, but they're very good people. Ladies out there, wakuka soko by the way, so allow me to let them introduce themselves and you hear their voices, and as the time goes by, I'll tell you what you're talking about. Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. My name is Isaac Chiengonga. I'm a second year law student here at Africa Nazarene University.
Okay, so my name is Melvin Kioko. I think I am the first born of three siblings. I am the chairperson of Amnesty in ANU. I'm also the events coordinator for World Prize here at ANU. I have a podcast, it's called Law and Behold, and I do it together with my very learned friend here, Isaac. And I'm also a small business owner. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Well, ladies, have you heard that CV? Potential investors. CV mejengo hapo hivyo. I hear people call yourselves, you call each other learned friends. I don't know if I fit that criteria to be a learned friend.
You have to come to law school.
Anyway, so learned friends.
Yeah.
Today we have a very interesting topic that touches on things that many people are very hesitant to talk about. Things that many people feel like it's a taboo to talk about because in retrospect, it's something that is matrimonial or personal in nature. Ladies and gentlemen out there, I'm talking about gender-based violence. And when I'm talking about gender-based violence, I believe my co-hosts, my guests here will augur with me when I say that I don't mean specifically to ladies, but also men out there. So this means that there are people out here, even in Nazarene University, who apparently face this daily, and they do not know that they're actually victims of gender-based violence.
Yeah, that's true.
There are men out here who feel like just because they are a man, they can't talk because of the masculinity they own. And there are women out here who feel like, just because I'm a woman and it is in my stature and nature, quote unquote, that I should be submissive to a man even when he raises his arm at me. So this is something that many people don't want to talk about, but it is something that's affecting even the youth right now. Because the notion, I believe, is that gender-based violence is something that only occurs in marriages, right?
But not really. Uh-huh. I think, let me start by saying that for someone to speak on an issue, they have to know at least 3 times on that issue than the average person. That's why I'm going to say this is my opinion and not necessarily the opinions of the podcast.
According to the European
Union, gender-based violence is violence directed against a person, and especially in relation to their gender. So it is like basically a violence against someone, but because of their gender. So it can be women, it can be men, and so forth.
Yeah,
and on that, there are four types you need to understand on gender-based violence. Mm-hmm. One, we need to understand what is, in the real sense, what is actually gender-based violence. And we need to look at what are the causes of gender-based violence in our society and what can be done about it. where you need to go when you actually experience gender-based violence.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. We're looking at four angles here.
Yes.
And I really, really pray that, ladies and gentlemen out there, my audience, my beloved audience, you're taking this into consideration, because there might be someone who you know, who knows somebody who apparently is facing gender-based violence. Because from Wakili wa Akili, aka Melvin, he says that apparently research says that, kindly repeat, research says
so,
that.
So gender-based violence is violence directed against a person's gender.
Mm.
So let's say it takes many forms. It can be domestic violence,
mm-hmm.
that is in like a normal homestead where the husband or wife, they are beating each other.
I believe that's like one of the most common.
That's one of the most prevalent forms of gender-based violence.
Mm-hmm.
It can be sex-based harassment. For example, saying that, you know, catcalling, I think, is part of that.
Office
place harassment and so on. And then it can also take the form of female genital mutilation in women. And then it can also come out as forced marriage. Forced marriage is also a form of gender-based violence. And even online violence or online harassment is also a form of gender-based violence.
So let me just get this clear. Sorry. Yeah. Online harassment or online violence. Are we talking about something like online bullying? Social media
trolling,
bullying?
All of that.
Trolling and all of that.
Yeah, and Kenyans on Twitter are very...
I know, it's a very sad thing, but I believe as a country are working on that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So, that's that.
Yeah, and what else? I also think that there are harmful acts, actually gender-based violence has harmful acts directed to an individual based on their gender, as Melvin has said. But we need to come in line and the base to find the root cause of gender-based violence. So I personally think that the root cause of, you know, gender-based violence is actually gender inequality and the abuse of power, because of, you know, as a guy, women tend to think that when they're born, you know, they're inferior, which to my sense, I think it is in a way, because women have been made to experience this kind of feeling through
history has painted that over time till now it's more of a mindset for every woman out there.
Yes, so we have to note that indeed it is a serious violation of human rights.
Yeah, just to add on that one, I'll just give a few causes which people have discovered, and one of them is like you said, cultural beliefs. Depending on the culture you come from, I don't think women have been given that that space to be leaders. They've not been given that space to have a say in the community or even in the house. And usually, because of this position in their power, they are the ones usually on the wrong side of gender-based violence. Some men get beaten once in a while, but most of the time it's women. And then one of the major causes, and especially in Kenya, in my opinion, is lack of political goodwill. You can see politicians let's say, for example, they're campaigning, and it's a man, and then he has somebody else who's a woman, and they're also campaigning. He will do that campaign in such a way that he's making to make the citizens see that this is a woman. He can, if you elect her, she can't do much.
That's
a form of gender-based violence.
Yeah.
And then there are also economic factors.
Yeah.
Most women don't have a way to earn a living. And if you don't have money, so you know, money talks. So if you don't have money, you'll definitely be slapped. And then because you don't have anywhere to go, you'll just stay in the house. Okay. And then there are also historical factors, which I will not go to. And then I think one of the key ones I've seen is also young parenthood. You know, if you become a young parent and you're the lady, you are sort of vulnerable.
Yeah, vulnerability.
So you can easily experience gender-based violence. And gender-based violence, the reason why I have so much knowledge is because I volunteered with FIDA Kenya,
mm-hmm.
which is like a non-profit organization.
Yeah, an NGO. I've heard of FIDA.
And they do a lot on women, and I've seen it. And I learned that even during elections, we have what we call election gender-based violence.
Oh, okay, that's new.
They did a research, mm-hmm. and they found out that during the election period, women who experienced GBV in relation to elections. For example, somebody's candidate lost. When the guy goes home, they found out that there was some form of GBV, mm. in the sense that he comes home, he's stressed. Somebody has been saying freedom is coming, freedom is coming, freedom has not come, and they end up they end up being beaten and experiencing GBV. So they actually employed election monitors,
mm-hmm.
who were monitoring this type of gender-based violence.
Yeah. Well, that's really interesting, and I'd like to reiterate what you said, because I feel like I'm really learning something out of this, and I really believe that our audience out there is learning something.
Yes.
Ladies out there and men out there who are victims of this, I want you to understand and listen to my words kindly. It is your right, and I believe that I'm saying this in front of lawyers, to say that it is your right to stand up and say against these.
Yes.
Yeah,
if you feel like someone is basically taunting you, someone is trying to confront you, someone is trying to basically inflict some sort of pain or aggression onto you just because of your gender, stand tall and say that it is my right, and just because I'm a woman, just because I'm a man, you do not have the right or authority in any way under any spectre of logic to actually accuse me or shout at me. And because I believe Isaac has talked about gender-based violence being on matters on even the simplest of matters. Even here in the university, mm-hmm. someone can basically just shout at you or address you in a very unequal manner because you wear a certain gender. Kindly tell that person that you have no right to actually
speak up.
Exactly. Yeah.
Speak up. That's the message.
Thank you so much. Huh?
Yeah. Just to finish on, what can be done to actually, you know, curb this gender-based violence?
I think that they should also know that.
I want to tell everyone that in order to curb all this, we need to stop certain, you know, trends going around.
Yeah.
We've just talked about speaking up. It means that as we speak up, we are already starting that trend of, hey, what you're doing is wrong. You don't need to talk to me like this. You don't need to do this. Certain, I hope you understand, right?
Yeah.
And we also need to report. By speaking up, you report to the necessary authorities. The government has a, you know, a helpline for people who are experiencing gender-based violence. You can Google the number. It's usually there. The National Police Service, they're always quick to respond. I know a number of people usually say, hey, I'm going to the police station. I've been thoroughly beaten. And the people in the police station are guys.
Yeah.
They'd be like, hey, you just go home and things like that.
Vumilia,
because
it's a sad thing.
Yeah, it's a sad reality we have.
But
we need to, you know, work around that. I'm glad that organizations like FIDA, Amnesty are really involved in these things, because our women are.
You just highlighted one of the key challenges in the attempt to mitigate FGM or GBV or any form of GBV, and that's police misconduct.
Because
sometimes somebody, you know, when you, for example, you get raped. Rape is a form of GBV. If you get raped, you're supposed. I think you're not supposed to shower.
Mm-hmm.
To brush your teeth or something like that, and then you're supposed to go and report to the police, I think, to get a P3 form and all of that. But when you go to the, sometimes, and this is from the time I was working in FIDA, I found that the police are not willing to follow up on the matter to its conclusive end. They just tell you, unajua, will not this case, we're receiving so many cases, or come next week, and then by the time
it's like it's not important,
and that's then people actually get tired, and the next time it happens, because people who have been raped before apparently are likely to be raped again.
That's
because if, for example, somebody got raped in their home state by let's say a stepfather, that stepfather is likely to do it again. So once there it happens to this person again, they're not likely going to go to the police. Because they remember, wait, I went to the police and nothing happened. They just told me come next week and all of that. So that's one of the key challenges.
Because I feel like that's something that's really affecting many people out there. And I was browsing through the social media at some point a while back, and I read that America's ever first woman serial killer was actually a victim of chronic gender-based violence.
Yes.
The stepfather used to abuse her over and over and over. She developed a mental understanding that all men are bad, regardless of who. And now this lady—that's
dangerous.
Actually, it's so dangerous because this lady turned into a serial killer, and she targeted men only.
Oof.
And even when she was now being when she was in court and judgment was being passed, and she was asked, "Do you have any words left?" And she said that, "I don't regret anything I did." And this is something so sad, because the reality is that right now, even here in Kenya, we might have someone who's going to turn out like that if we do not speak up.
Exactly.
I know, and that's something we should actually work on.
That's one of the adverse effects of GBV. If you get violated, you know, let's say I'll use rape, or even getting beaten by the person you thought you love, it shatters you as a person, and that goes to mental health. This person you are saying, their mental health was violated also.
Yeah.
And now they are not thinking straight. They think that all men are like this, all men. When you start thinking like that, I think everything is going to be wrong, because you're not going to take informed decisions. And that's why we have to be serious on when we come to discuss the measures that need to be taken to mitigate
gender-based. And we also have to understand that on matters of rape and all these other sexual, things that go around in GBV, mostly they involve, you know, past trauma. You get trauma afterwards, so you get to suffer even more after you have experienced that.
Just to add on that, FIDA Kenya also provides psychosocial support and counseling services, and there are more organizations like that. I think even Amnesty and CRU. I don't know if you guys know CRU.
Oh, I'm glad also ANU has a counseling department.
Ladies and gentlemen, how the members of African Nazarene University, wherever you are, and if you feel like you are a victim, feel free. The doors are always open. To actually go and report, get counseling, and talk and heal. People need to heal. And I feel like also we need to address the perpetrators of GBV also, because these people, obviously, there's something that is slightly wrong with them to actually make them be such aggrieved to actually go ahead and make such a
I actually have a problem with that. Maybe this is GBV though. There was this girl, maybe probably around 13 or something. She got raped by the father or an uncle.
That's so tragic.
And she, it was just messed up. And she couldn't do anything. She was in the hospital, you know, because of the reproductive and all that.
Yeah.
And it was so, so bad. And then they were trying to now like get justice for this little, you know, girl, but you find like the person can't be brought to justice because he has like, you know, money and all this influence it's usually the court systems also need to come in play when we're dealing with gender-based violence. Okay. That's what I think. Yeah.
And
as advocates as well.
And just to interject, I feel like the court systems will work if the society decides to wake up.
Yes.
Therefore, again, reiterate and emphasize on what you just said. Speak up. If you speak up, then the authority will understand and realize that it is their moral obligation, their civic duty, their professional obligation to actually make a move.
I agree with you, Danaro. And to add on that, I think we first need to liberate our minds. There can be no change if we don't liberate our minds. We have to start of all know that, you know, some people get violated and they don't know that this is GBV.
Oh,
for example,
wow, yeah.
Proper knowledge actually on GBV is really important.
I'm whatever, but that's it. And I'm glad we have this is the first topic ever we are discussing in the law podcast and whatever, because if people listen to this, there'll be a shift in their minds. And once you decolonize the mind, then we can have actual change in Kenya, and not even Kenya,
yeah,
in Africa. Because I was reading some statistics, and in general in the world, 200 million women are at risk of going through FGM, and in Kenya, Africa, about 3 million a year.
Wow, that's
and
really
to them, the problem is not the FGM. The problem is that they think this is a cultural practice. No, no. When you go through FGM, it's something that it's part. It makes you more I don't know, more beautiful.
More desirable.
Yeah, so we first need to unlearn some things and relearn some things.
So yeah,
a lot is involved.
Has been involved, and people out there, we're not saying that GBV is going to end in one day.
Yeah.
No. Rome was never built in a day. The women's suffrage party didn't just happen in one day. It took time, but eventually it worked out. And I'm not telling you that this is going to be a slow process. No, this purely depends on me and you.
Exactly.
Ladies out there, men out there, this depends on me and you. Cultural, yes. Our cultures are heritage and all, but there are some retrogressive aspects of that culture we need to shed off.
Yes.
And as I wrap up, and as my colleagues also wrap up, I'd like people out there to know that there are people out here who care for them. Regardless of the trauma you faced, regardless of the violence and the abuse you faced, you are still a beautiful person.
Yeah.
Please understand that. Even if you are a victim of rape or a victim of abuse, you are a beautiful, wonderful, talented, gifted person out there. And don't
Absolutely.
Be afraid to come out and tell people that I survived. Be the inspiration to people out there.
Yeah.
And I'd like Isaac and Melvo to give their final words.
Okay.
Okay.
Should I go first?
Just go, yeah.
Okay, I think the Kenyan authorities have a long way to go. But just to give a highlight, Uhuru Kenyatta, His Excellency, the president, the former president of Kenya, Uhuru Kenyatta, had set up a national policy for eradication of FGM, which aimed to end FGM by 2022. That's like to have zero tolerance for FGM by the end of 2022. So we are in October, right?
Yeah.
So we have like 2 months left, and I don't think they have really achieved it. So
they have
more to do as people, and you don't have to be a lawyer, by the way, to advocate for people's rights.
Yeah,
you can go to on Twitter. I'm part of Amnesty, and the executive director of Amnesty is called Irungu Hutton, said that if anything is happening, you have to tweet about it, you have to post about it, so that people are aware.
Mm.
So if you have gone through GBV, I know it's not easy, and I'm really sorry if you went through it, or you know someone has gone through it, or you've been in a household where you've experienced GBV, but speak up, like Danaro has said, and then also learn about your rights. I would advise you, if you're in ANU, please join Amnesty International. We learn about human rights, we learn how to advocate for other people's rights, and then also learn about consent, because most people,
consent.
Don't know about consent. Some people don't even know what is consent. And then let's empower institutions such as FIDA, CRU, and Amnesty to help other people. And then let's all seek counseling services. And then mental health is everything.
It is
Thank
everything.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, mine is just to also thank you for having us here to talk about these sensitive issues. And for the people around ANU, my word is this, that you don't have to be alone when you're facing, something. You have a friend, you have a sister, you have somebody to talk to.
Ukona mimi, you have Danaro. You have me. Come and talk,
talk. And I'll still mention this. ANU has a counseling department. Not many people know this, but they should check it out. Yeah. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen out there, you have heard and you have listened, and I believe majority, if not all of you, have learned. And I feel like, what do you guys think? We should have a part two of this.
Yeah, keep the conversation going.
We need to keep the conversation going.
And I think we need to have a lady also.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, that was all in my mind when we began this discussion, that we have to have a lady next time. I feel like Flo can be a really interesting personality for this podcast.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So she's going to hear this.
She will. She definitely will. So, ladies and gentlemen out there, I believe you have learned something. Remember, and I reiterate again, I'm not going to get tired of saying this, speak up wherever you are. You are not alone. We are here to listen and to help wherever we can. Anyway, that's a wrap for today. I believe the majority of you have learned something. Feel free to contact me. Feel free to...
You can also contact us.
Yes, you can also contact Melvo and Izo. Definitely, they'll tell you if you need further information from them. They're definitely experts at this.
You can follow us.
And you can also follow
our handles.
Yes. Can you just tell them your handles?
Okay. On Instagram, Iniesto_08. So if you just search for Iniesto_08,
Iniesto.
Okay. I think for me, if you should just Google Melvin Kioko, you'll find me.
Google.
Let's be accomplished. Let us be accomplished. But can I Google? Anyway, so those are the handles, ladies and gentlemen. If you have any inquiries, if you have any clarifications you need, feel free to hit the inbox. They'll definitely help you in the appropriate possible. I think that's a wrap. I'd like to thank ANU administration. I'd like to thank the dean, and I also like to give my special appreciation to Afrinas and also to Mr. Masharia, if possible, so that they could know that apparently it is truly with them and Afrinas crew that you've been able to do this.
Yeah, I almost forgot. We also have a podcast, yes. Me and Melvin, where we talk about different issues in law school and just general topics as well. It's called Law and Behold.
Law and Behold, it's everywhere.
I've actually seen it. It's on Castbox also.
It's
and
on Castbox. Yeah. It's everywhere. Yes.
You could check it out as well.
Yeah. So that's it. I thank you all for giving me your ear. And let's meet again till next episode.